Don't you love technical problems? My first thing says, insert joke here. I guess we did. Anyway, barns, blooms, and birds. So what does it mean to me? Luke 12, 13 through 34. I went to a church one time just visiting. It was one of those big churches, you know, with the people that jump and holler and scream and sing and, you know, one of those really lively churches. And when we first stepped in, we all sat down, you know, and there was lots of people. The place was almost full, but the front two rows were empty. And so I thought, well, okay, that's kind of typical. You know, most churches, you don't want to be on the front two rows. Well, as soon as the praise service started, they had a whole bunch of young men who, just as rehearsed as they possibly could, so apparently they do this all the time, went up to those front two rows and took those chairs off and moved them around to the back for the visitors. Because the visitors would have had to go all the way to the front. And so those people who sat back three rows, guess what? They were on the front row. All right, and so the only reason I say this is because, come on, guys, move up. Come on, there's a whole empty row right there. If you're not too terrible, come on, move up. See, they need to be on the back row because Michelle has to stand up occasionally. But if you people move up, then Michelle could be on the back row. Nobody's moving. Thank you, Jeanette. Thank you very much. All right, we got another cooperative person. Thank you. One of those lights is aimed really bad. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. All right. All right. So, barns, blooms, and birds. What does it mean to me? Okay. So, what we're talking about today is Luke 12, and it's the story about the guy with the barns. Now, if you recognize that story just from what I've said so far, raise your hand. Okay. All right. Some people have heard it storage houses all their life. Now, if you recognize it now, raise your hand. All right. So I would love for somebody other than me to tell that story right now. Who can tell me that story? Yeah. Okay. That's as simple as it is. He had a whole bunch of stuff. He had so much stuff, there wasn't room to store it anymore, kind of like my house. Yeah. And so he was planning to build some big barns, okay? And so we're going to have some questions here at the beginning. What do you think or feel when you find out you're going to hear a sermon about a passage you've studied or read many, many times before? How does it make you feel or think? What do you think?
I've already heard it.
Yeah, I already heard this. What else?
Maybe I'll hear a different view.
She's sweet. Maybe I'll hear something new.
Or a different take.
Or a different take. Okay, some of y'all are really kind. Some of y'all are sitting there thinking, I am sick and tired of this story. I know what it's all about. Okay. And that's okay, because you know what? If you grow up as a Christian, then you grow up reading the Bible, and you grow up with these stories, and you hear them over and over again, and most of the time what you hear is the most obvious interpretations. Now, what do you hope to get out of today's lesson? What do you hope? She kind of said you hope to find something new or a different viewpoint. Anything else? Is there something you're hoping to get out of today's lesson? Okay, encouragement for the rest of the week.
Or a conviction. Change.
Yeah, a challenge, yeah. And I love to give challenges, so that might possibly happen. We'll see, okay? So you want to get something that you can use the rest of the week, right? Okay, there will be a test at the end of the sermon. And I'm gonna be a good teacher and tell you what the question's going to be. What can you take away from today's lesson that you can actually use this week? And those of you who've heard me speak, you know that's always my question at the end of the sermon. Okay? What can you use? All right. So we're going to look at first the more obvious interpretation. And that's the one you probably heard all your life. You may have heard others, but this is the one I've heard the most. So here is a scripture. Then someone called from the crowd, Why isn't there a verse number on there, Michael? By the way, thank my husband for the PowerPoint, because he did a good job. All right. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." And so what I've heard most of my life is, don't be greedy, you know? Be generous, give away. If you don't need something, give it away. If, you know, don't pile up junk or stuff. Don't measure your own worth by what you own. Okay? Basically, that's the kinds of things I've heard. Just a second, I got to catch up on my notes. Okay. All right. And Jesus kind of interprets it for us. It's kind of nice when he does a parable and then he tells you what it's about. I got it. Okay? All right. Life is not measured by how much you own. But first, let's look at what the purpose of this parable was. Why did he say it in the first place? Any thoughts? It's right there in the scripture. Why did he say this thing? You see?
People were measuring.
Yeah. Well, and even more, yes. And even more basic than that, somebody said, "Please tell my brother to divide our father's estate." And so this parable was a result of a question. When I teach, my students ask me a question, and sometimes those questions don't have anything about what I want to teach. But if I'm a good teacher, and sometimes I am, I can take that question and I can scoot it around and move it around till it's actually what I want to teach, okay? So that's what Jesus is about to do. He's answering that question, but then watch what happens as he goes on, okay? Now, guard against every kind of greed. Let's see. There's less obvious interpretations. I believe that everything we're taught in the Bible has layers of understanding. And if you want to call it parallel universes of understanding. If I happen to be in the universe of being in pain and hurting because of some loss in my life, then I'm going to hear and interpret a scripture in that universe. And it may have something to say to me about what I'm going through. But if I'm in the universe where I've done some pretty good stuff and I'm feeling like really good about it and maybe even a little bit prideful, then I'm in this universe and this is going to speak to me in a different way. Does that make sense to you? That you live in different universes depending on what's affecting you, okay? And so there are less obvious interpretations that are just as good and just as helpful, okay? So here's the next part of the story. Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God.'" And so there's a principle in here that we can hang on to. Did it highlight? There we go. A person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. And so that is the verse that we're going to use to launch our study today. Okay? We need to be more concerned about our relationship with God. So here's a question. What does it take to maintain a healthy relationship? And you get to talk for a minute. Tell me some things it takes. You can't answer because you did the slide thingy. Okay? What does it take to maintain a healthy relationship? Time spent together? Communication? What else? There's more than that, I tell you.
Being nice to each other.
Consideration. Consideration for each other.
Love each other.
Love each other. Come on, teenagers, you're being outspoken here. Respect. Good. So y'all know some of the things it takes to make a good relationship. And what we're going to talk about today is how do we develop a good relationship with God the Father? All right, just when I say that, I think to myself, oh my gosh, a relationship with God? Oh my gosh, how am I going to do that? I can't even see the guy. I can't hug him. I can't hold hands with him. How am I going to do that? All right, so let's talk a little bit about that. The first thing I came up with, and somebody said it, effective two-way communication. Now, if you're following along in your bulletin, this is the first one, okay? Effective two-way communication. So let's look at some more of this, or is it the reprise? I think it's the reprise. Okay, so let's look again at what we just read. Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. All right, let's talk about this conversation. There is a conversation going on here, right? Between who? Him and himself. All he's talking to right now is him and himself. He's drawing conclusions only based on his own wisdom, his own desires, his own needs. It has nothing to do with anybody else. It's a very selfish conversation. But then look who gets involved in the conversation. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? So now that God's in the conversation, oh my gosh, we realize talking to himself and only to himself and not having communication with God only got him in trouble. But now that God's talking to him, maybe he'll get straightened out, okay? So that's about effective two-way communication. Now we're going to talk about preferring each other's company. Have you ever seen people who were married and their marriage wasn't very good and it's partly because they never spent any time together? They're either too busy or they hate each other too much by the time they get to this point that they'd rather be away from each other than together. Okay, so preferring each other's company. Let's look at the next verse. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. This guy and his barns, he preferred to spend his time building barns and spending time with his wealth rather than spending time building his relationship with God. So it's kind of about the time you spend with God in a way, okay? Next, what does it take? Both sides hold the welfare of the other to be more important than their own welfare. Now, we can think about that in human relations, or at least I can. You know, I think most of the time I try to make Michael's needs be more important than my own needs. And he just about all the time makes my needs more important than his. I'm spoiled, I admit it. It's a little one-way-ish, but I like it. But how about this? I mean, if you think about it, okay, God, yeah, my welfare is important to God. I can get that. But do I think of God's welfare as being more important than mine? Now, that's a mind-bender, isn't it? Have you ever thought about that? Does God have a welfare? Does he have needs? Does he have desires? I know he has desires. The Bible talks about it. So do I hold his desires to be more important than my own desires? Maybe not. So let's go on. Oh, yeah. Here's a verse to go with that. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can your worries add a single moment to your life? This is proof that God cares about us and wants our needs to be met. And then we're back to that same old question. Do we want God's desires to be met or his needs to be met above our own? It's a good question, isn't it? Okay, next. What? Okay, all right. Next is trust. Okay? I don't remember if anybody said that, but I think we all know trust is so important in a relationship. Okay? Wait, I gotta look at my notes. Okay. Trust. And so let's look at the next verse. We're just going down Luke 12, believe it or not. All this is in right there in Luke 12. And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Okay, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Think about that for just a second. Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So there's the trust thing. And here, I mean, do we always trust God? I don't think we do. I think that's one of the major learning points here on earth. I think we have to learn things here on earth so that we can be effective citizens of heaven. And one of the things is trust. And that's the hardest one. Now, I trust Michael. I trust my daughter. You know, there are just a very few people in my life that I trust, but I don't always trust God. And the symptom of that is that I worry. I worry about things. I get depressed over things that I can't control. And that is a form, it's a symptom that we aren't trusting God like we should. Okay? So he has made a commitment to us. Wait a minute, something's wrong. Oh, here we go. He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? I already did that. Oh, sorry. I got ahead of myself on my notes. Okay. And so trust, that's the next important thing. Now, let's go on to the next one. Commitment. Loyalty. If you're not committed in any relationship you have, whether it be best friend, brother, sister, husband, wife, if you're not committed to that relationship, it's probably not going to last. And I know that you've been in relationships like I have where you were committed, but the other person wasn't. And how does that feel? God is committed to us. He is committed to us. Let's look at a verse. And don't be concerned about what to eat, what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Oh my gosh, what a commitment God has made to us. He is committed to provide us with everything we need. Wow. Are we that committed to him? Well, I'm committed to being a Christian. I have no doubt about that. I'm committed to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I have no doubt about that. I'm committed to him as my Savior. I have no doubt about that. But am I committed to God himself in such a way that everything I do shows that commitment? Well, yes, in my mind, but maybe not in my actions every time. That's a tough one, okay? That's a really tough one. But I love that verse because it shows God's commitment to us, and I cherish that. Oops, sorry about that. Let's look again at the next thing. What does it take to maintain a healthy relationship? You have to treasure or cherish the relationship. If you don't think that relationship's important, you're not going to do anything to make it better. Does that make sense? And so we need to treasure God's relationship with us, or our relationship with him. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Oh, goodness gracious, God cherishes his relationship with me. It gives him happiness to develop that, to give me the kingdom. Wow, that's cool. God cherishes us. Do I cherish him as much as he cherishes me? Well, probably not, because he's God and I'm a human. Okay, a little bit more here. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven, and the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Okay? So if I continue to cherish things of the earth, whether that be things you can touch or relationships or whatever that are of the earth and have nothing to do with God, if I spend my time and energy cherishing those things, then I won't have time to cherish my relationship with God. Okay? Whatever your treasure is, what do you treasure? I don't know, about 7 or 8 o'clock at night, I treasure TV because I just want to sit and watch TV for a while, you know? I'm not saying that's wrong by any means, but I am saying maybe I could spend that time doing something else, or maybe I could spend some other time doing something else, something that develops my relationship with God. I'm still, as I speak and as I was preparing this, I'm still thinking, relationship with God? The Almighty? Seriously? You know? But yeah, somehow that's supposed to happen. Can't hug him, can't touch him. It's hard to talk to him, although sometimes I hear him talk to me. Huh. Okay, so let's keep on going. So I wanted to reiterate that list. Let me go back to it. So there's our complete list somewhere. There we go. These are things that we need to develop in our relationship with God. Effective two-way communication. Two-way? Well, a minute ago I said it's easy that sometimes I hear him, but it's hard to talk to him. But for most people, it's easy to talk to him, but hard to hear. You know? And so you have to become fine-tuned on that. God talks to you in different ways. And he may talk to one of y'all in a different way than he talks to me. It all depends on what you're open to, what you're willing to accept, how your brain works, how you were raised, how you think. Are you logical? Are you emotional? God talks to us each in different ways, and you have to find your way to hear God's will for you. Okay? Preferring each other's company. Do you prefer God's company over the company of whatever or whoever else? You know, do you really enjoy spending time with him? Both sides should be caring more about the other person's welfare. Do we think about, all right, God's desire is that all men should be saved, and therefore my desire should be that all men should be saved. Doesn't mean I have to go out and be an evangelist because I also want to work within my gifts. But it does mean that that should be a big piece of what we think about when we think about our relationship with God. Trust. We've got to develop trust in God. The only way to do that, in my opinion, is to remind yourself of times that he hasn't let you down before. God never lets you down, even though at the time you may not realize it. Commitment. Loyalty. Do you have a commitment beyond the commitment that says, oh, great, I'm saved? Whew. You know, do you have a commitment beyond that? Cherish the relationship. Do you really treasure it? Do you really cherish it? And what's the test of that? How much time do you spend with him? Okay. So let's go back ahead. So I've been kind of dealing with all this because I'm spending a lot of time now doing Kung Fu and Tai Chi, okay? And so on the one hand, it's been incredibly good for me. On the other hand, I keep thinking, I spend more time with these people than I do at home sometimes because I work all day. I go to Kung Fu or Tai Chi 3 nights a week and on Saturday mornings. And so I've prayed about that. I've prayed about it a lot. God, is this interfering with your work? Okay? Now, in my particular case, I have found it is not. Okay, it's developing me, in me, some of the characteristics that God wants me to have and for his purposes. And I could talk on and on and on forever. But when I'm in Kung Fu or Tai Chi, either one, they teach us forms. And so we go through these forms, okay? And just one little simple one is just in Tai Chi is just this right here. And that just looks like nothing much. And you do that three times in a row, and then you do this other thing three times in a row, and then you do this and you do that. And you can learn these forms, but you know what? They don't mean anything until you understand the application for it. Okay, so here's that form right here. The application is, if I were doing it fast, is I block and then hit the guy with this part of my arm. Oh, well, it makes perfect sense now. So applications are really important. In math, when I teach math, a lot of the kids I teach, they struggle with it. And one of the reasons they struggle is they don't see any way that this could be used in life. And so it's important for me to find ways that it's going to be used in their life, applications. So the last thing we're going to do is applications for what we've talked about today, for developing a relationship with God. So here is the question. I want audience participation, please. How does it look in your life when you have a really great relationship with God? I know everybody has had at least a glimpse, and some of you have lived it for a long time. What does it look like when your relationship with God is really, really good?
Worryless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's one of my particular symptoms, too. When I live my life basically without worrying and just knowing things are going to be okay, it's because my relationship is better. What else?
Related one is complaining less. I complain a lot. I think, you know, if you've got a better relationship with God, you realize that what you're going through right now, it has a purpose to it, and that you'll learn something from it, or it'll end up somewhere that's good or that God wants you to be.
That's great, and I'm just going to repeat it for the microphone. Complain. You complain less. You see where it's going and that kind of thing, and that's really good. What else? How does that look in your life when your relationship with God is really strong? Peace. You have more peace. Yes. Couldn't we all use a little more peace?
But through this peace and not worry and not complaining, still though, May, if you have a really good relationship with God, you may have a really hard thing that you're going through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because God asks of us sometimes to do really hard things.
Yes.
And I think of Paul and how much he was tortured and how much he went through and the persecuted Christians that we talk about, that we pray for every week. They had a lot of hardship.
Yes.
So a close relationship with God does not mean easy peasy life.
Exactly. Right.
Or to worry about.
Yeah.
Or to have no peace over.
Yeah. Well, and peace doesn't mean peace in your surroundings, because God may not be controlling the evil that's around you or the bad decisions other people are making. You know, it doesn't mean peace in your surroundings. It doesn't even mean peace in your human relationships, because you could be going through great conflict. But there is a peace that passes understanding. You remember that verse? Is it a verse or a song or both? Okay. There is a peace that passes understanding, okay, that has nothing to do with what's going on around you. I struggle with depression, but when my relationship with God is good, then I handle it better. You know, I'm able to just kind of take some deep breaths and just, okay, God, you got this. But when my relationship is not strong, then I fret and I worry and I get depressed and cry and the whole mess, you know. Anybody else? Anything that what does it look like in your life when you have a strong, good relationship with God? Yeah. Exactly. People notice it, and sometimes they even say something about it. Yeah. I remember many, many, many years ago when I first began to realize God was more than just that guy up there that I had to do whatever he said. I started realizing some other things, and there were people who did say things to me. They would say, you know, you just seem a lot more settled and peaceful than you used to be. Still got a long way to go. All right, next. What have you learned, discovered, rediscovered that you can use as you walk away today? This is your test question. I told you it was coming. What have you found out today? What have you learned? What have you discovered? What have you rediscovered that you can use this week as you walk away?
What we need and what we think we need are probably to do different things.
Okay. What we need and what we think we need are probably two different things. Because God's going to meet all your needs, and yet there's so many things we think we need that he hasn't met. Exactly. What else? What can you use? Yeah.
You're going to have trouble. That doesn't mean you're not with him.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have the trouble.
Right.
Just know he's there. And then that goes back into the trust.
Mm-hmm.
He's there.
Yeah.
Just have trouble.
Yeah. And one of the things I kind of brought away from it as I was doing this study is that there are those areas that you can develop in a relationship. And maybe it's more productive for me if instead of just saying, oh, I need to have a better relationship with God. Oh, I need to read my Bible more. I need to pray more. Instead of that, maybe I can for a while work on effective two-way communication. And then maybe for a while I can work on trust. I can pray about it. I can think about it. I can exercise trust, you know, and all those other things that are in that list. And that, to me, is a lot more manageable than just saying, I ought to have a better relationship with God. Okay? Does that make sense? Is that the last of it? It is the last of it. And so I want to say a quick prayer for each of you that... For each of your lives, if y'all will just bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, that you want and desire a relationship with us. Thank you, Father, that Jesus talked about relationship with us. And Lord, most of all, thank you that you're available for that. And now for each person here today, I ask you, Lord, that you will help them this week to just think about and maybe do a little analyzing. Just how is their relationship with you? And draw them closer and closer and closer to you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name,